This morning we continue to reflect on some of the wonderful qualities that are present in many congregations, including ours, acknowledging the gifts of being the church that we need to preserve so that we can continue to serve in the communities where we live. Today's quality is welcoming all ages, a very appropriate one for this special day on which we have baptized baby Fraser, welcoming one of our youngest members to the church family, both of this congregation and of the whole church of which we are a part. I want to acknowledge the Reverend Emily Bissette, who wrote the study guide on the theme of being the church, and whose sermon on welcoming all ages I have adapted for today. Deuteronomy is a sort of guide for the Israelites as they finish their 40-year journey in the wilderness and get ready to inhabit the Promised Land. While they journeyed from slavery in Egypt to freedom, God was with them in visible and tangible ways. God provided manna to eat every morning and quails for their supper every evening. God went before the people as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now that the people are about to enter the Promised Land, Moses tells them that there is a new way to remember God's saving acts and also to sense God's presence in their midst. That new way is the story itself. First, God repeats the greatest commandment to the people. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then God tells them to repeat this commandment and the story of God's saving act over and over again. Tell your children, God says, when you are at home and away from home. While you work and while you play, tell the story. While you travel and while you rest, tell the story. In this way, you will remember God's mighty deeds and love for you, and your children will come to know this truth as well. Reverend Emily explains that she and her husband Alex are both ministers. So that means that they are very busy on Sunday mornings. Neither of them have family in Toronto where they live and serve, and they also serve separate congregations from each other. Alex has a two-point charge, and Emily serves in an ecumenical shared ministry. That means that their daughter goes to church with one parent or the other parent. And as soon as that parent walks in the church door, he or she is immediately busy with people and preparation, as you can imagine. And so they have come to deeply appreciate the church as a place where the generations meet and interact. Their daughter, Rachel, most often goes to Emily's church. I imagine it's simpler with a one congregation rather than 2-point charge and 2 services. When they first came to that church, Rachel was 1.5 years old, and she sat with 3 single women, 2 middle-aged and 1 senior. And she adores them, and they adore her. But about a year ago, the eldest woman in her circle suffered a stroke. Rachel didn't understand it, but she felt it and asked about it and missed her friend. Though Isabel comes to church rarely these days, Rachel still refers to her as my Isabel, and she looks forward to seeing her other friends, Joanne and Connie, every week. One morning on the way to church, Rachel was hungry and wanted to eat the snack that her mother had packed for her, and she wanted to eat it in the car. She was told that it was the only one they had and that she would probably want to save it so that she could eat it during church. She didn't miss a beat with her response. "Oh, Mom, Joanne will bring me goldfish and M&Ms anyway. She always does." The church is one of the few places in our society in general where the generations mix in loving, mutual, respecting ways. Outside of family groups, so much of our society is broken up, broken down into fairly defined age groups in school, in university, in seniors' clubs and services, adult lifestyle communities where no one has to worry about babies crying or teenagers playing hockey, mom and tot groups, all those things. And even when kids and adults do mix a little bit, so often it is with grown-ups as leaders and kids as learners, and it is clear who is teaching and who is supposed to listen. In the church, we have this gift of a gathering place where all are worshipers. Worshiping on a weekly basis, we have the gift of a common meeting ground, rich with potential for the development of friendships, real friendships between people of different generations. Tori Smith, who is a regional staff person for one of the Presbyterian synods in Ontario, focuses a lot of her work on congregations with 10 kids or fewer. She does a presentation on trends in Christian education in which she points to studies that show that one child needs three trusted, intentional adult relationships in their lives outside of their parents for healthy growth and development. In a survey of high school students, 85 to 90% of the students could not identify one trusted adult with whom they have a significant, positive, trusting relationship outside of their parents. Maybe that's a good thing to hear as to hear again today for a godmother and for a family surrounding a child who will grow up and become one of those teenagers, hopefully not one of those 85%. In one study called Teen Voice, researchers report that only about one in five 15-year-olds has a web of positive, sustained, and meaningful relationships in their lives that support, guide, encourage, and connect with them in positive ways. Those teens who have such a friendship or mentor in their lives speak about how much they value the relationship. The things that teens value the most in these relationships include being listened to, being taken seriously, the gift of time and attention, and having someone in their lives who is both available and trustworthy. The research shows that teens' relationships with adults play a critical role in their successful development and thriving. The absence of a broad and deep web of adult relationships beyond parents hampers their growth and makes it difficult for them to thrive. But when those relationships are in place, teenagers are much more likely to find their voice, discover their gifts and passion, and become thriving adults themselves with a hopeful future. And here is the church, full of people capable and gifted to be such friends for growing young people. The church is a beautiful place where these kinds of relationships can be fostered. When a child grows up in the church, connections can begin when the children are quite young, creating a foundation of relationship that can be built upon later. Parents often know the adults that their children are relating to, creating an ease of relationship, which can assist parents in giving their kids freedom to develop a relationship independently of the family circle. Adults in the church can provide encouragement and inspiration from the perspective of faith. And the gifts adults can receive from youth and teenagers are abundant. Insight, energy, fresh perspective, and friendship among them. When I think about that gift of the generations together in the family of the church, building relationships and sharing gifts, I am so thankful as I look back on the church in which I grew up. As a child, I remember older adults who treated me like their own grandchildren. As a teen, I benefited from the friendship of middle-aged and senior women and men with whom I sang in the choir. And I think their lives were blessed also by interacting with people in my age group. Let's take a moment to think about our church family. Aren't you thankful for the sound of babies gurgling and laughing and even crying in church? And when those babies get passed around from one surrogate grandma to another while the parents get to talk to each other, isn't that a beautiful thing? It is a wonderful day when we get to celebrate a baptism and welcome a new child into our midst. But the baptism is just the beginning. It's the day that the parents make promises to tell the story of our faith and teach their child about God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And it's the day that we, as the church community, make those promises as well. But we fulfill those promises every Sunday and in between, when we gather with all the generations to worship together, to share fellowship and grow friendship, to tell the story of our faith and care for one another in the family of the church. One of the things that I have noticed in the last few years at St. Andrew's is that coffee hour downstairs can be a big affair. It's not that we always have a lot of food or that the coffee is the best in town, but many people like to stay and to talk and to just be together. And that is a beautiful and wonderful thing to see across the generations in our church. Reverend Emily confides that at first she grieved the fact that as a minister she could not sit with her daughter in worship regularly. But she came to believe that Rachel is having an experience that allows the church to truly be the church. And when she sees her daughter using the offering envelopes as building blocks at the back of the sanctuary with the 50-year-old man who is the chair of the property committee, she gives thanks. When she sees her daughter standing on the pew with a Living Faith book open as her hymn book for one of the opening hymns next to her grown-up friends, she rejoices. When she listens to Rachel taking turns in the pulpit, being the prayer with a 24-year-old choir member after church, and she watches her grow comfortable enough to connect with a young woman who just started attending their church to offer to give her a tour of the church balcony, Emily is sure that God is smiling. The church is called to be the place where the generations meet. This is a gift we can offer to one another and to our society. When we respect each one, no matter how young or how old, and their very real needs and joys, we are truly being the family of God. When we teach our children that the church is a place where they can find trusted adults who will love them and listen to them, we are keeping the baptismal promises that we made together. When we show the world around us that all of us are healthier and happier when we share fully in each other's lives, we fulfill the call of God. May we be the church that God is calling us to be. Amen.